Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Good evening. Good evening. Yes, we are on tonight. Thank you. End of week broadcast. Another week has just gone by for us, and we survived it, and we're still here, and that's wonderful. And tonight, at the end of this week, I thought we would bring back a very interesting guest that we've had from time to time. And he, of course, has received numerous responses whenever he's been here to be on the program with us. And he is Gene Smith. Gene Smith, for those of you who don't know, for you newcomers, Gene Smith has a website, thebibletruthman.com. You might look it up. Because he, of course, is one of those who is a Bible scholar. I consider him to be a Bible scholar. He's a student of the Scriptures, and he's been a student for many years. Doesn't have a big church, a cathedral, temple, and he's not passing the basket. Let me welcome to the microphones again, Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hello, Rick. Good to be on your program again.
Thank you. And tonight we thought we would get into a lot of the mythology, if you will, about the United States and the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration, and this myth of separation of church and state. And I've been looking up caseloads and doing a little research here, so I'm sure between you and me, we'll have a very interesting, informative program again tonight.
Well, what I don't say, you can say.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I look forward to you because you always add so much from the Scriptures, and I really enjoy learning from you and others who call the programs as well. So we can all learn, I think, from each other, and most of all, we can learn from the Heavenly Father. So we thank him for that opportunity tonight. And, well, basically, tell us a little bit about your website before we take the break and come back.
Well, my website, BibleTruthMan.com, doesn't mean that I have the truth. It means I get the truth from the Bible. Mm-hmm. And this is what we have to do. We have to get back to the Bible, stop listening to preachers and the religious organizations, especially these IRS tax-exempt religious organizations. They're businesses. They're government religious organizations. Label Christian, and just because you label something Christian doesn't make it Christian, of course.
That's right.
And they have not done our society any good at all. We have the most unchristian society now in America, especially of Caucasian Israel, Europe, Scandinavia, Britain, and America leads the world in just about every bad category. And yet we have all these preachers, all these religious organizations labeled Christian, all these seminaries that I call cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the answer? If these preachers are teaching the Bible correctly, why don't we have a Christian nation like we once had when we had Christian preachers in early America?
Yeah, I think they call it revival.
but you can revive lies and evil just like you can truth and good.
Mm-hmm. That's their definition of revival, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. And of course, you have had a lot of study in the Bible. You have degree in religion, I believe.
Yeah, I have a PhD in historical theology, and
yep.
I have a regular degree, of course, from North Texas State in education, and a master's from Ambassador College. It's defunct now.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, we'll get right into the thick of it, Gene, when we come back, and we'll take calls a little bit later on. Stay tuned. Let us get started on Uncensored Radio Free America, only on RBNLive.com. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any family wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, home of all your solar needs.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of the imminence of our nation's peril. The artificially sweetened times inform people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 proves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The artificially sweetened times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-55-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
We are back again to begin the program, and let me ask Gene, in this whole, because you've sent me some literature, this whole question of church and state separation, and is America a Christian nation or is it a secular nation, so forth. Where would you like to begin on this topic? Why don't you begin where you feel is appropriate?
Well, the early history of our country, beginning with Puritans landing in America in 1620, creating the first legal document in America, the Mayflower Compact, states very clearly that this was to be a Christian nation, a Christian land. They dedicated this land. They didn't know, of course, how large this land was, but they dedicated the land that they landed on to Christ Jesus. And the Christian faith, that's clearly in the Mayflower Compact. That's the foundation of our American society right there. In fact, Andrew Jackson said, quote, that the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests, unquote. Mm-hmm. That he said that in the 1830s. So from 1620 to the 1830s, our people here in America knew that we were to be a Christian nation. And the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case in 1892, mm-hmm. the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, here's their conclusion, quote, our laws and our institutions, meaning America, must necessarily be based upon and embody the teachings of the Redeemer of mankind. It is impossible that it should be otherwise. And in this sense, mm-hmm. and to this extent, our civilization and our institutions emphatically Christian, unquote. That is a U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1892 that's never been overturned, even though the separation of church and state in 1947 tried to do that. And basically, unfortunately, has done that, but not not legally, not lawfully.
Well, let me interject here now, Gene. Something happened in the Supreme Court. Something happened in Washington and in America between the late 1800s and the 1940s. What do you think it was that happened?
Well, what happened was we were taken over by what we would call communist, socialist. And the leaders of this, Rick, all the way back, believe it or not, to the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. The French Revolution was led by the Jacobins. The Jacobins, in Hebrew, B-E-N, means children. So they were calling themselves children of Jacob, which they were not. They were the synagogue of Satan of Revelation 2:9.
The Jacobins were like a takeoff, but the counterfeit of Jacobite, right?
Yes, the Jacobites now were in England. They mm-hmm. were a nominal Jew group also that Cromwell allowed to come in. And mm-hmm. In his government, after they executed King Charles I in 1649, Oliver Cromwell's government allowed the nominal Jew from Holland to come back into England. They had been dispelled. They had been exiled from England ever since 1201 by King Edward I. And he borrowed money from them to have his rebellion against King Charles I government. And, of course, a part of of that deal was not just paying the money back at interest, but allowing the nominal Jews to come back into England. They could the Jacobite Society. They were instrumental in creating the Bank of England in 1694, which basically runs England now today. Even so, you know, we're not talking about history that doesn't apply to today.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we had in France the Jacobins that led the French Revolution. And that is the only time, Rick, that's the only time in our history. Now, our history, meaning the history of the white race, of the Israel people, the Caucasian people today, we had any separation of church and state, meaning for the government. In other words, religion has always run political governments. You can trace this back all the way back to ancient Babylon. There's not one great civilization that was not totally, completely run by their religion. All of their political policies dictated by their religion, even though it was pagan religion. And then, of course, had Emperor Constantine in the early 4th century create what became Roman Catholicism, and that religion ruled the Roman Empire for centuries. There was no separation of church and state. The only time in not even during the Reformation, even during the Reformation time, Queen Elizabeth I, King Henry VIII, of course, created the Church of England in the 1530s. There was no separation of church and state there, because mm-hmm. if you violated any tenets, any basic policies of the Church of England, it was like violating, it was like treason to the English government. So, therefore, the Church of England and the government were hand in hand. This was true Queen Elizabeth I, his daughter. This was true all through our history, like I say, until the French Revolution, when the Jacobins, under the leadership of Maximilian Robespierre, in November of 1793, actually gave what is considered today, what would be considered today, the separation of church and state. They did not want any form of Christianity, whether it was true Christianity or not. If you had the name Christ Jesus, they didn't want it, not to run government or the society. They relegated that to a building somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and that's just about where we are today in America. But yet,
from the 1600s in Puritan America, then we saw an apostasy set in, I believe
right.
you could say, in the 18th century, and you saw Unitarianism grow, and Harvard and Yale and all of these institutions taken over by religion, but the religion of Unitarianism, anti-Christianity, and then as a result, we started to come into the 19th and 20th centuries. By that time, by the 20th century, we really saw the rejection of the heritage of the colonists and the founding fathers. And now, I would say it's safe to say we are living in a not merely a post-Christian America, but an anti-Christian America. So what has happened is void that has been created by taking the absolutes out of the body politic has now been substituted for by a new religion, and that new religion is anti-Christianity.
Well, the Jacobins came to America, Rick. Believe it or not, they came
yes,
to America.
They did.
They try to take over America, and have all today. They're not called Jacobins anymore. They created the situation for what we call the American Civil War. Eustace Mullins writes about this in his book, The World Order.
Yes.
About Jacobins. The same people that tried to take over France and give France the separation of church and state. Well, after the Civil War, of course, they had to create, just like they did in England, a central bank, which they did with the Federal Reserve Act. Now, they didn't call themselves Jacobins. In fact, the Jacobins changed their name, and they became your Zionists, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they originated in Switzerland in 1897 with Theodor Herzl.
Yes.
But that was the new Jacobin name, and these people gave us the Federal Reserve Act, which, of course, gave us the central bank that Andrew Jackson canceled. He canceled the second national bank. The Federal Reserve Act is actually just the third national best bank, is what it is.
Yes,
and
that's true.
And with that financing, they gave us World War One and Two, which led to their state of Israeli and the United Nations.
Yes.
And in 1947, when the United Nations was created in San Francisco, guess what? Washington, D.C. gave us the separation of church and state the same year.
Well, look at the people that Roosevelt there, FDR, tried getting on the court and did, largely with his court-packing schemes. You had the Frankfurters, and you had the Brandeises, Louis Brandeises, and people like that who of that ilk, of course, represented the cornerstone of the new revolution. And that was the Marxian socialist revolution in America in the 1930s. And we never recovered. It's been an evolutionary process of destruction from within.
Well Rick, money can buy anything in this world, and it can buy a Supreme Court seat, can it not?
Yes, indeed.
And that's what happened between 1914, when the Federal Reserve Act was inaugurated, and basically 1947.
And the tragedy is they used our money to do it.
Yeah.
Not theirs, but ours.
Yeah, money they create out of nothing.
Right,
and I
exactly.
say they, meaning these former Jacobins, the same people that we call Zionists today, and
right.
We call communists today, socialists. What I'm saying, Rick, is that it's been a plan. It has been
Absolutely.
A takeover of America.
That plan, I have a feeling you're going to tell us tonight, goes back more than a few hundred years. It goes back 1,000 years
yes.
to a couple of little babies in the womb, huh?
That's correct.
All right. We're going to get into that later. But when we come back from the break, I want to share with our audience actually an explanation of what took place before the First Amendment was written and how it was being proposed and what they finally settled on and what it meant. We'll do that with our guest, Gene Smith, BibleTrend.com. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Radio Avenger, Rick Adams.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll still only have to pay a regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement agreement, or HRA, plan that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in his room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural homeopathic Times and Remedies, visit soleywellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y wellness.com or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America and prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and war, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Pack off 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Rick Adams is back. Live, uncensored radio, Free America continues on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we're back with Gene Smith, our guest, BibleTruthMan.com. Gene, let me share with you for a little bit some of what I have managed to dig up from the bowels of history pertaining to the First Amendment, all right? And you're still with me, Gene?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right, good.
I'm very interested in what you have to offer.
All right. Well, this is from the history books now. The First Amendment, which James Madison, who was, then a representative from Virginia, introduced, had read like this. "The rights of none shall be abridged on account of religious belief or worship, nor shall any national religion be established, nor shall the full and equal rights of conscience be in any manner or on any pretense infringed." Now, the House altered resolution to read, quote, "Congress shall make no law establishing religion, or to prevent the free exercise thereof, or to infringe the rights of conscience." The Senate rejected this resolution and proposed one which read, quote, "Congress shall make no law establishing articles of religion," unquote. Well, a conference committee of the two houses finally agreed on the version which was submitted to the states for ratification and then became the religious freedom provision of the First Amendment, which, as we all know, reads, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Now, an explanation of this freedom of religion section of the First Amendment was written by Justice Joseph Story. He was a contemporary of the men who wrote the amendment and of the people who adopted it as part of the Constitution. He was a justice of the U.S. State Supreme Court for 34 years. All right? That was the United States Supreme Court for 34 years, from 1811 to 1845. You could look this one up in the history books, folks. His 3-volume, quote, "Commentaries on the Constitution of the United States," unquote, published in 1833, when Story was a veteran member of the Supreme Court, is not only among the oldest, but also among the most authoritative explanations of the real meaning of the Constitution. So in his commentary, Gene, the First Amendment, Justice Story said the purpose of the religious provisions was not to discredit then existing state establishments of religion, merely to exclude from the national government all power to act on the subject. In his commentary on the Constitution of the United States, Story said, "In some of the states, Episcopalians constituted the predominant sect, in others Presbyterians, in others Congregationalists, and so on and so forth, Quakers among them. It was impossible that there should not arise perpetual strife and perpetual jealousy on the subject of ecclesiastical ascendancy if the national government were left free to create a religious establishment. The only security was in extirpating the power But this alone would have been imperfect security if it had not been allowed to be followed up by a declaration of the right of the free exercise of religion and a prohibition, as we have seen, of all religious tests. He said, thus the whole power over the subject of religion is left exclusively to the state governments to be acted upon according to their own sense of justice and the state constitutions. And the Catholic and Protestant, the Calvinist and the Arminian, the Jew and the infidel may sit down at the common table of the national councils without any intrusion into their faith or mode of worship. He explained, however, the Establishment Clause, while restraining Congress from giving preference to any denominational group of the Christian faith, was not intended to withdraw the Christian religion as a whole from the protection of Congress. Would you like to hear what he said, Gene?
Yes, sir.
He said, probably at the time of the adoption of the Constitution and of the amendment now under consideration, general, if not universal, sentiment in America was that Christianity ought to receive encouragement from the state so far as it was not incompatible with the private rights of conscience and the freedom of religious worship. An attempt to level all religions and to make it a matter of state policy to hold all in utter indifference would have created universal disprobation, if not universal indignation. So I think it's pretty clear what he's saying there, don't you?
And it's very clear what John Quincy Adams said.
Yes,
quote,
absolutely.
The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one dissoluble bond the principles of Christianity with the principles of civil government, unquote.
Absolutely.
In other words, Christianity and the principles of civil government in America should never be ended, should never be dissolved. And John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, said this, quote, Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers, unquote.
We'll be back with Gene Smith, the Bible Truth Man.com. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be right back with more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue, treachery, into the sewer of slavery and bond, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line, put away the rest of your life, or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efooddirect.com. 800-409-5633.
You've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. The portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Rio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams on. Ouch.
All right. All of you horse radio fans out there, tune in. Gene Smith, my guest, and we're having a rather hearty, substantive discussion tonight, Gene, about legal matters as well as scriptural matters. And you're the guy that can really tie the two together, I believe. And you have cultural background, the history, and the history of our nation, and sharing with you some of the constitutional views of those justices of the court who were there at the time that these amendments were forthcoming. And, boy, what a difference generations can make, huh?
Oh, one generation can turn a society and a country 180 degrees. And that's what basically has happened with America. We had a lot more of a Christian nation just 50 years ago than we do now. It's getting worse all the time. It really is.
Yeah,
we're losing Christianity in this country every day, practically. It's getting that fast and that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what the you alluded to, court decision that, you know, it really started in the 30s to weaken the Constitution and destroy the concept of federalism. And what we saw in the 1960s was really the beginning of the end with the so-called prayer decision cases in 1962 and 63, the Shemp decision. And what we saw was a total and complete reversal of constitutional law. But you see, it didn't start in the 60s or the 50s. It went way, way back. And you could say, well, it was the Roosevelt administration. Well, it went back to the Civil War, whatever you want to call it. Well, it actually did. And, you know, we don't have time to go through the whole history tonight of that war. But let's get a handle here, Gene, on what happened, for instance, with someone like Earl Warren. All right, Earl Warren really started the revolution going in the public school system in the 1950s when Chief Justice Warren, of course, was appointed by the Eisenhower, not surprisingly, and he was a total liberal, socialist, one-worlder at the time, who became Chief Justice in 1953. And in his infamous decision, you remember the Brown versus the Board decision?
In 1954.
That was a so-called desegregation case. Well, on May 17th of 54, Warren, supported by all of the members of the court, dealt an incredible blow to that doctrine of stare decisis. Stare decisis meant let matters lie. Don't upset the apple cart of precedent. Well, what they did was they basically said that the Constitution didn't mean what it said it meant. It meant what we say it means. So they started this whole new process of interpreting the Constitution in light of modern psychology and sociology. And in fact, Earl Warren even cited the writings of communists and communist fronters as the modern authorities on whom he was relying in preference to the Constitution. Can you imagine that, huh?
Well, sure, because you understand that it's been a plan, like I say, it's been a Jacobin, Zionist plan to take over America and bring us liberalism and socialism and communism, which are all related, of course. And all of this has centered around the separation of church and state, because when you separate church and state, then you separate Christianity and state. Because I want everybody listening to really hear what I have to say here, Rick, because the law is the separation of church and state. It is not the separation of religion and state. I want to say that again, because the word church, it is a separation of church and state, not religion and state, because we have religion in this country. We have the religion of atheism and humanism being taught in our government public schools and their doctrine of evolution. And we see that we have a secular pagan society, and just as much, if not more so, than ancient Israel did, just as bad as the ancient empire of Babylon had, or the Roman Empire. And when you separate church and state, you separate Christianity and state, and you don't separate pagan religion and state, because the word church only refers to Christianity. You will only find the word church in the Bible, the book of the Christian faith. You will not find the word church in any writings of any pagan religion. And the writers of this terrible anti-Christian law, the separation of church and state in 1947, knew this. Remember, words have meaning. This is why we can have evolution taught in the public schools, the government public schools, but not the Bible, not creationism. They fight this tooth and toenail to keep creationism being taught. And they go back to the separation of church and state, but they can teach their pagan doctrine in government public schools, because you see, the separation of church and state does not say the separation of pagan religion and state, only church and state. And that law is a discriminatory law. It discriminates Christians and Christianity and the Bible. It should be thrown out as discriminatory.
Well, in fact, it's no law at all. It's a doctrine. It's just a doctrine that's been weaved and created and then unfortunately embraced by subsequent courts, which you see how they've hypocritically thrown out the doctrine of stare decisis, and then they've adopted a new stare decisis with a new precedent, changing the original meaning of the Constitution. So this is the key here to the revolution.
But
that is taking place.
The separation of church and state is treason-like law, though.
That's exactly what happens, because the lower courts vent their cue from the Supreme Court, and they say they have to follow the Supreme Court. Now, if you were a justice, Gene, if you were sitting on the federal courts today, one of the U.S. Courts in America, federal court, or a court of appeals, which would you do? Would you follow the precedent of the Supreme Court, right or wrong, or would you follow what the Constitution says if you were a justice? Now, which would you choose?
Well, of course, you'd have to follow the Constitution, and I would definitely, above everything, follow the law of God, His commandments and statutes.
That's the whole point.
I want to quote again John Quincy Adams, folks. He said, quote, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it is connected in one indissoluble bond, the principle of Christianity with the principles of civil government." John Quincy Adams said that this doctrine of the separation of church and state should never, ever be in America. And yet, we have it in America, just like the French Revolution had it, by the same people, the people of Cain and Satan the devil.
So this, this conspiracy to destroy the fundamentals of the faith here, foundation of law, really goes back thousands of years, even before the country was begun.
It actually goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
Yes.
And Rick, they have destroyed Christianity in this country. We are not a Christian nation in any way, shape, or form anymore. We have a symbol of Christianity in these religious organizations and their buildings, where people play church once a week.
Yes.
Well, they had that in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. They had Russian Orthodox religion in the Soviet Union. People went to their buildings there, too. But look what kind of society they had. So, yeah, I mean, what I'm saying, Rick, is that you destroy Christianity from taking Christianity out of your government, out of your society, out of your life, out of your daily life of the people in that nation.
Well, you know, I know what you're saying, Gene, and you're right. The only thing, I hate to think that these people have power over God, Father, to destroy Christianity, because they don't really have the power to destroy Christianity when you come right down to it. What they have done is destroyed the rock bed of the relationship between the government and its Christian moorings. That's what they have done. They've separated the two and substituted anti-Christianity for it, but they can't. They don't have the power to destroy the Father, the Bible, or the Almighty. They don't have that power.
That.
I know you're not, but I just wanted to verify that for you.
Yeah, the Christ Jesus said the gates of hell will never fail against
right.
this church.
Exactly.
And we have a Christian people in our society. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying that we have become ineffective in government and in our society.
That's
every
it.
Part of our society.
That's the key right there. And now we're seeing the results, right?
Yes, exactly. And you know, Rick, this goes back to Deuteronomy 28.
Mm-hmm.
We have thrown the laws of God, His commandments and statutes of Exodus and Deuteronomy out the proverbial window, and we're seeing the curses of Deuteronomy 28 for doing so, as
yes.
Deuteronomy 28 says we would in verses 15 to the end of the chapter.
And here we have the framers and the justices sitting on the court at the time telling us that they did not intend for the federal government to dictate any of these policies in those areas where the Constitution did not mention its authority. In other words, there's no authority in education by the federal government, yet that's the federal government runs education today. And they are out of bounds, they're illegal, they're completely unlawful. And the justices and the writers would say, hey, we don't want the federal government in religion. It's up to states to do that. If the state of Texas wants to embrace Christianity, that's up to the people of Texas in their state constitution. And the same thing with Massachusetts and so forth. But you know what? It's off limits to the federal government. What do we have today, Gene? Just the opposite. We have the federal government dictating to the states and to the people, respectively, how their affairs should be governed in direct violation of the First Amendment.
And in the federal government, as in all the governments of course in Israel, are run by humanism, where the people are God. They make the laws, and they think that they know better than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
They think they know better than the God of the Bible. They think they know better than Christ Jesus, who said, "I think not I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
I came not to destroy but to fulfill," in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17.
That's the key.
You know, Rick, this is what has happened. We have thrown the Bible and God's laws out of our society. We've let these people do that. And they have given us the religion, a pagan religion of humanism, which is a combination of pagan sun worship and Judaism. That's what it is. And that, I'm not going to pull any punches. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Humanist magazine mm-hmm. in 1981 on one of its front covers, and I forget which month now, but I've got it in my files, It listed humanistic Judaism. So, the religion of humanism, and they have a manifesto also, just like the communist
yes,
manifesto. They have a humanist
right.
manifesto.
That's
one
right,
and two.
Yeah. I read them.
And in the humanist manifesto, too, it says that basically humans can solve problems that, quote, no God shall save us, unquote. They are not only anti-Christian, they are atheists. That's why we have their doctrine of evolution being taught not only in the government public high school, but in colleges and universities as if it is true.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. 800-213-9443 is our toll-free number. If you wish to join me and my guest, Gene Smith, get on the line and comment on this subject that we're focusing on tonight. And it's very important because in order to know where we're going, as a nation, we have to know where we've been and that our uprooting has taken place. The roots have been pulled out of the earth, you see, out of the soil so they can't be grown, transplanted. That's what Satan is trying to do. Cut the roots out. Follow? And take the branches from the tree. That's what Jesus spoke of. The tree of life, the tree of death.
Yes,
you see?
The figs, the bad figs.
Exactly.
The good tree, the bad tree. He said a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and we are being ruled by a corrupt tree.
Absolutely. And we're going to continue with this discussion. We're going to continue to get into some legal doctrines and scripture doctrines and compare them. And that way there we can understand what has happened to our nation tonight, Gene. How's that?
That's fine. I want to give you another quote, and I want you to try to guess who said this. Quote,
okay.
It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Not all religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ, unquote. The person that has been labeled by these revisionists as being not a Christian said that, Pat Henry.
I was just going to say, Patrick Henry, yeah. That's who I was thinking said it. Absolutely.
He was definitely a Christian, but he was not for these religious organizations.
No, he wasn't. Well, let's take some calls now. Let's see who's first. Clinton is first, I believe. Clinton, you're on the program. You're on the program with Gene Smith.
Hello, Rick.
Yes.
Hello, Gene. How do you do?
fine.
I've got a couple questions. I'm wondering if either, or Gene, if you have any male children, and basically I'm wondering what your thoughts are and what Scripture says to us now about genital mutilation and how the Jews have imposed that practice upon America.
Okay, Gene, you want to take that first question? Go ahead.
Well, genital mutilation, you can find that in a lot of African countries. They still practice that. It is another part of pagan religion, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just to the men, but to the women also. And, of course, this is the God of the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. And he told Adam and Eve, of course, to be fruitful and multiply.
Okay.
And so the God of the Bible and the God the Father in Christ Jesus is totally against that, of course. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2, it says, learn not the way of the heathen. That's part of the way of the heathen.
All right. Next question. Did you have another question, Clinton? Oh, okay. All right, then. What we're going to do is we're really up right up against the break anyway. We're going to move along quickly. We have Patrick on the program, and we have others. Our number toll-free, 800-313-9443. And we're really getting heavy once again tonight on the heels of last night's show. We were talking with our guest, Kevin, from Indiana, who, of course, was giving us some thought-provoking questions about these same subjects, in a sense, political, civil, religious, who we are, where we're going. And, you know, today in school, Gene, isn't it interesting that educationists want our children not to learn these things or question these things, but they want them to learn about things like political correctness, the Holocaust. They want them to learn about how terrible the South was in the Ku Klux Klan, and they want them to learn of how bad the white people have been all of these centuries, how it's wonderful to celebrate Kwanzaa, and we can throw out the Ten Commandments and bring Kwanzaa in. Isn't that interesting, Gene?
Well, just like here in Texas, you don't hear too much about to Texas Independence Day, March the 2nd. You don't hear anything about Cinco Day, where we won our independence from Mexico on April 21st. Mm-hmm. But you're going to hear a lot about Cinco de Mayo next
yes.
month.
Yes, yes, that's for sure.
I mean, it's
all right.
The front page of the paper, probably.
Oh, yes, and maybe the back page and the middle. Okay, we'll be right back. More calls, 800-313-9443. Rick Adams, Gene Smith, Uncensored Radio Free America, another great program on RBN.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in critical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss at CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable plan document required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or visit coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, document, plural, .com.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. King dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.alarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Leave a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force.
Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit card. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
And we are now with our guest, Gene Smith, the BibleTruthMan.com, or BibleTruthMan.com. That's the website. And Gene is going to tell us as we continue how people can even call him if you don't have a website or can write to him, because I know last time we had a lot of people calling the network trying to get his address. And we'll do that a little bit later, Gene. You know, Gene, I just wanted to share something with you. I hope you don't mind doing too much talking here tonight.
No, not at all. It's your program, Rick.
This is a subject that is so near and dear to my heart. When you get into the Constitution, and there was a senator named Eastland who came up with an article he wrote, and he said it had to do with the Supreme Court itself. And the question that he was addressing is the Supreme Court communist? In so many words. Well, you know what he did? He actually proved that largely the court, in fact, had become communist as far back as the 30s. And this is what he found. Justice Hugo Black, he was appointed by Roosevelt in 1937. He participated in 102 of 107 decisions. Black supported the position urged upon the court by the United States Communist Party or its sympathizers in every one of those 102 cases. Justice William O. Douglas, appointed by Roosevelt again in 39, participated in 107 decisions. Douglas supported the communist position 97 times and held the contrary only 3 times. Chief Justice Warren, again, and appointed by Eisenhower in 53, participated in 65 of the 107 decisions in question of the court. Warren supported the communist position 62 times, held to the contrary 3 times. Then there was Brennan, appointed by Eisenhower again in 56. He participated in 51 of 107 decisions. Brennan supported the communist position 49 times, held to the contrary 2 times. Justice Felix Frankfurter, I mentioned earlier, by Roosevelt in 39, participated in 103 of 107 decisions. Frankfurter supported the communist position 69 times, held to the contrary 34 times. Justice John Harlan, appointed Eisenhower in 53. Participated in 65 of 107 decisions. Harlan supported the communist position 30 times, held to the contrary 35 times. Then there was Justice Potter Stewart. You remember him. Appointed by Eisenhower in 58. Participated in 20 of the 107 decisions. Stewart supported the communist position 6 times, held to the contrary 14 times. And basically, as Senator Eastland had pointed out, the Supreme Court justices, up to his time in the late 50s, early 60s, did not adjudicate cases on the basis of the Constitution or what it means. They adjudicate on the basis of their personal predilections. So in the prayer case, for example, Justice William Douglas referred to the court's decision in the Everson case in 47, one you had referred to. Doug said he had changed his mind, and now, thanks to the Everson case, with which he agreed at the time, he said it should be reversed. He doesn't even infer that he's discovered any new information or found any new insight about the meaning of the Constitution. He just happened to change his mind. Personal mood in 62 is the opposite of what it was in 47. And that's what the Constitution is supposed to be, a changing document. Hogwash. All right. We'll be back. Hour number two, Gene Smith, my guest, separation of church and state, our Christian heritage, and your comments just ahead. Rick Add, stay tuned for more.
It's true. Gold and silver have